My name is Aaron Cunningham. It's an advanced teaching in the Hebrew and Greek. We're going to start off in the book Exodus, chapter 3. I think we were just there. I don't think that's a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. Sometimes we feel lonely and we go, hey, how about a little help? Feel lost. This doesn't look like it's going. I'm about ready to quit. We saw that with Miracles from Heaven. And at the end of the movie, the mom went, I had missed all the miracles that happened. And I was focusing on the one thing that wasn't coming into fruition. And what a great testimony afterwards, going, how many miracles? But our Father today will help us customize His Word to whatever you need, if you open your heart. What do I need? Come on. Who goes to Santa Claus without a list? If you go to Santa Claus without a list, are you expecting a gift?
No.
Does that please Santa Claus going, yeah, you don't have to bring me anything anyways. Santa Claus would be disrespected. This is to Him who sees our hearts. He goes, I know what you want. I got great gifts. Oh, so how am I going to get my Xbox 360? How am I going to get my new Humvee? How am I going to get my new girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever this is? He'll say, be a good boy. Yes, sir! Is there going to be a time when a child is going to think about disobeying their parents? Yeah. Is it going to be difficult at times to not mouth off? Yeah. So what are we supposed to do then? Just keep my mouth shut and obey, right? No. You're going to be rewarded. To him who sees in secret, Matthew 6:33. What do you need to do? All of us have something very difficult. Everybody in this room has got a difficult task right now. And we don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about something else. Something not trivial. I don't want to talk about IRS back taxes or credit card debt or Let's just turn the light on some of these subjects and watch what happens with our Father. Be seeking, be asking, be knocking. Page, I think it's 85, Exodus 3. Mm-hmm. I'm hesitant to give you a page number after my music. Kind of butchered that.
Is that 85 or?
Exodus chapter 3. Guess who we're going to learn about? Moses. How many people knew that Moses' mom was the one that breastfed him? She got paid to do it.
Yeah, that's cool.
How cool is that? Amen. He was her father. Who raised him up? The movies didn't teach you that. Isn't that neat? It's almost as if somebody had a plan. I would like, if somebody would mind reading, verse 1.
Now Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, priest of Midian. So he led forth the flock behind the desert and came in unto the mountain of Yahweh to Horeb.
Okay. Go ahead and keep reading verse 3.
Then appeared the messenger of Yahweh unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of the thorn bush or bramble. So he looked, and lo, the thorn bush burning with fire. And yet the thorn bush wasn't consumed. And Moses said, let me turn aside and pray, see this great sight, why the thorn bush doth not burn up.
Keep going.
And Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see. So Yahweh called unto him out of the midst of the thorn bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, behold me. And he said, do not draw nigh hither. Put off thy sandals from thy feet, for the place wherein thou art standing is holy ground.
That's good right there. We're not. It was a thorn bush. Was it a regular bush? Who wrote it was a thorn bush? The author. If somebody started editing and changing Shakespeare with Shakespeare in the room, do you think he'd be offended? People really aren't going to understand this thing. He'd be like, what are you doing right in front of me? It was a thorn bush. Anyways, here's Moses. He's living 400 years. Israel has been living in Egypt.
Slavery.
Do they have different kind of gods in Egypt? Yeah. Do they worship different things? Just look what Israel did. They got golden calves. They got thousands of gods. What's happened here, you won't see this in any other translation for the most part, is we don't realize Yahweh's name disappeared. It got snuffed out. First usage of Yahweh's name is in Genesis 2. Yahweh Elohim created. Okay. Now Moses, 400 years later, is in Egypt, and a burning thorn bush goes, come here, I got something for you. Isn't it weird? Who is a child?
Yeah.
Who is the only begotten son of God? What's his name?
Yahushua.
Now you guys don't get to answer this. What is the name of that son of God? His father's name? Not his title.
Yahweh.
we would say even in Christianity right now, if you ask somebody, they're going to go, well, God. Then the little kid goes, no, but what is his name? Well, his name's Lord. No, that's who he is. Sarah called Abraham Lord. We're talking about Sarah? Abraham? No. What is his name? His name was concealed by Jewish traditions. Jesus Christ said that too. Why? They go, why do you transgress our traditions? We hide Yahweh's name. You did it right in front of the author. You know that, right? His name Yahweh disappeared. I didn't know his name until I was like 19 years old. I thought my dad was crazy. I thought he was baiting me into a debate. I'm like, man, I don't trust you because I know you're smarter than me. I better be smart. Then you find out here, Yahweh's name was the first name that disappeared with him and his children. What if I was an adversary and I can go right in and I can intercept Mari's understanding of who is her mother and who her father are? He's no longer Riley. He is no longer Chrissy. Just call him Dad. Would that affect a relationship? Who is your dad? I really don't have. He's just named Dad. Well, which one is he? What is his dad? And this guy volunteered to raise you. That's an incredible man. There's a wonderful movie that broke my heart one time. Brad Paisley saying to what's the song about stepdads going? Thank you for being the man you didn't have to be. Mm-hmm. I've heard one song in my entire life. I listened to it. I fell down and started crying. What guy chose you? He's right there. He's got a name? Yeah, he's got a name. His name's Rod. Riley. Wow, what a great name. Between here and there, the name disappeared. By who? The adversary. We don't need to know why or anything else. All we know is that an enemy has done this. We kick him back out. So Moses goes, what's his name? And this burning bush goes, my name is Yahweh. Oh, great. So he goes back to Israel and he goes, hey, our God showed up to me. And they go, oh yeah, what's his name? He said he'll become whatever he'll become. I am that I am. But he also said his name is Yahweh. And they went, yeah, right. If his name was Yahweh, if he had a name, wouldn't we know it? We're Israel. We're the chosen one from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he goes, his name is Yahweh. No, it's not. His name's Adonai. And then you go, oh yeah. He told me you guys weren't going to believe this. Check this out. A snake. Boom. Oh, what was that? Oh, check this out. I got leprosy. Ah, you got it. Now I have your attention. His name's Yahweh. Okay? And this meeting is a serious one. We're getting out. So this is what happened. You won't see it in the regular translations. He just says the Lord. You don't know when he's talking about the Lord, but the Father's name had been snuffed out. If the adversary could come and say, what man adopted you to volunteer in here? He chose you. There's a difference when a man or a woman end up with a child and when a man chooses you. He looks and he goes, I want to be in. Whoa, you already know what they look like. The other one's kind of a crapshoot. They could be just like you. It really helps. If they look just like you, I'll do it. What's his name? His name's Riley. That's the man. If the adversary could remove his name, guess who would come back and say, Amari's got an incredible, you're a leader, you were born to lead, and he was inside you, he believes in you, he gives you peace. And if the adversary says, we're going to get rid of this guy's name who chose you, do you know what Yahweh would do? How many burning bushes do I got in Wichita, Kansas? The guy any close to Amari's house? Ah, whatever, use poison ivy or honeysuckle, what we got down there? Oh, we got milkweed, kid. All right, get the milkweed going. Oh, look at the milkweed. What's going on? His name's Riley. And you can imagine the adversary going, oh, boy, had everybody forgot his name except that doggone milkweed. It's not the doggone milkweed. It's not the thorn bush. It's the author. Boom! Moses is ready to go. Now, what is Moses getting ready to do? He's getting ready to go start a nuclear war with arguably the most powerful man on the planet. All right, so what? He's Moses, right? Moses. Turn to Acts. Let's look at Acts 7. Let's take a look at him. So, Acts chapter 7. So with Esther's teaching, we learn about him being taken as a baby, which was neat. His life being preserved because somebody had a plan. But Moses didn't make choices in that. I didn't make the choice of becoming a Christian, in my opinion. I did make a choice, but I was raised with a godly mother and a godly father, that if I chose not to be, then I'd be an outcast. That is good godly pressure. You know, that's what kids need. But I was blessed. But Moses, because this thing is, who is our God? His name is Yahweh. Man, isn't that crazy? Nobody knows that name. chapter 7, verse 20 and 23. If somebody wouldn't mind reading that.
23.
Go ahead and read it. Tim, I'll start issuing names before reading from now on. Good.
Let me read?
Yeah, please.
Okay, 20 through 23, page 126, starting in verse 20. In which season Moses was born and was exceeding goodly, who was nourished up 3 months in the house of his father. But when he was exposed, the daughter of Pharaoh rescued him and nourished him for herself as a son. And so Moses was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in his words and works. And when there was being fulfilled unto him a period of 40 years, it came up on his heart to look after his brethren, the sons of Israel.
Okay, so we have 3 months. He was 3 months old. How old was he when he was a baby? He's adopted, 3 months old. He's raised in Egypt. We read Hebrews about, he said he did not partake in the gratification of sin. He made a choice. How old is he now?
40.
He's 40. He's 40 years old. Is that a kid?
No.
No, I'm 38. Okay, this is a grown man. He made a choice. He stood up for what was right. What happens after Moses does this? He flees. He gets a new occupation. What was his occupation going to be in Israel? I mean, Egypt. I don't know.
Maybe.
The scripture doesn't say. Have you ever, can you imagine a 40-year-old man going, you no longer will work there. We want you to go here. Go here. What will I be doing? Just go. Wouldn't it be nice if I get to use my education? Wouldn't it be nice if I got to use my military background? What do you want me to do? Just go and I'll take care of it. Oh, great. Here we go. Just answer these questions and I'll answer it. But here's the neat thing is, he's 40 years old. He accepts the call. He has to flee for his life. And he's in the land of Midian. Midian, he gets married, the 40-year-old. Verse 29 through 30, please. Tim again, please.
Okay, 29 through 30. And Moses fled at this same, and became a sojourner in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were fulfilled, there appeared unto him in the desert of Mount Sinai a messenger in a flame of fire.
That's good right there. So okay, we got 40 plus 3 months plus 40 is how much? 80
months.
And a quarter. 80 and a quarter. There's a funny comedian. He said, when your kids, you go, how old are you? Oh, you're about 2. I'm 2 and a half. And then pretty soon, once you get past 21, you're like, you start rounding down a little bit. I'm almost, because once you get in your 70s again, you're like, I'm 71 and a half.
Yeah.
Hey, don't round down. Let's just see. But this is neat. Here's Moses. He's 80 and a quarter. Right? What's going to happen to Moses here? What's neat is, why did he flee? It says specifically, they're going to kill him. What happened to Moses when he chose to obey Yahweh? To the best of his ability, he almost died. I've never had somebody almost try to murder me. I've had some things go bad, but I've never had somebody try to kill me. He's 40 years old. Now we're going to turn back to Exodus. Actually, we don't have to turn back there. We'll turn to Genesis 12. Genesis, Exodus. So what do we know here? What does our father teach me? This is the instruction manual for our entire life. It's not just a storybook. He knew our calling, and it's up to us to be seeking him out. He'll teach all kinds of stuff. I didn't know that. How do you know how old Moses is? You have to read the book of Acts. Book of Acts? That's a big right turn. Yeah, he's seeking. He's wanting us to seek him out inside of his book. Then he starts explaining himself. What's really happening here, in my opinion, with Moses? You guys all at Genesis 12? Moses, what does he do for a living before this bush? He's with his father-in-law. Anybody know his name?
Jethro.
Jethro. Jethro was a
shepherd. Priest.
Priest of what background?
Levi.
Nope. It was just turn real quick. Turn to Exodus, it's page 85. Page 85. And it came to pass during verse 23. And it came to pass, this 2, verse 23. His father is a priest of Midian. So what? Jethro's father-in-law was a Shriner. Who knew? Funny little cars. Funny hats. No! Who's Midian? Who cares? Funny little hats. Shriner Circus. Don't advise you to spend very much money on the circuses. I felt bad charging people. We had a dog trick and one elephant at one of our circuses. Anyways, who's a Midian? Who is he? Who cares? Here's a clue. Father-in-law of Moses. Is Moses pretty important here?
Yeah.
And he's married to a priest of a different religion. Midian was the son of who?
Joseph.
Abraham. You mean this is family? Keturah had Midian. To the best of our knowledge, Midian was married within the Abrahamic covenant. How neat is that? Here's Moses. And who did he marry? It looks like he is married to a different denomination or something. Here's our father. Look at this. See our father's fingerprints all throughout this? Recently, I just realized, you know James, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, you guys heard of that? James dies early on in the ministry. It's unfortunate. Herod kills him. But then there's a book of James written afterwards. Which James is that? Jesus Christ had a little brother named James. The Lord's brother. Did you know Jesus' little brother who rejected him? Oh, possibly. This is a tough word. But didn't believe earlier. It would be hard to believe your little brother's Messiah. Man, I know what your bathroom smells like. Don't tell me you're perfect. What happened? James, to the best of our knowledge, is the one that wrote the book of James. Can you imagine James? When it finally came in and going, my big brother? My half-brother? The book of Jude. Here, hey Jude. The only thing we know about that is the Beatles wrote about it, right? Wrong. Who is Jude? The book of Jude. It goes right before Revelation. It's about this big. If you get intimidated by reading, read Jude. It takes you about 5 minutes. Me, about 15. Who's Jude? Jude is the brother of James. James is who? The brother of our Lord, to the best of our knowledge. Isn't that neat? To think about possibly, it doesn't say that specifically, but think about the food for thought. I didn't know that. But now think about Jesus' two younger brothers possibly being the ones that wrote the book of James, Faith Without Works is Dead, and Jude explaining what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that neat? Now imagine Mary, the Miriam. How proud are you? Oh, my oldest son, I'm so glad you asked. His name is Yehoshua. People call him Jesus. He accomplished a lot. You heard about him. But do you know about his other two brothers? What brothers? James and Jude. How would we have known that? I wouldn't have known it until I started looking at the scriptures. And here it was. And Yahweh stirred something up. And here's E.W. Bolger. It doesn't say that specifically. But what does that do? Imagine what else we don't know. Who's Jude? Actually, Jude is for Judas. He had a brother named Judas. So if somebody goes, Judas, you go, thanks. He got a lot of print, as far as we know. So that's Judas, Judas. So anyways, I didn't mean to digress like that. Moses is an 80-year-old man. What does he do for a living? He's a shepherd. Where is he? He works for his father-in-law, Jethro. Okay? Jethro is a descendant of Abraham. Would that make sense when he first met Jethro's daughters? Mm-hmm. Really? You mean Midian comes from Keturah? Keturah came from Abraham? Well, I thought I was going to get with the Abrahamic seed when I fled Egypt. Because all of them are unbelievers. You guys ever feel like an unbeliever? Because we don't go with the flow. Man, how am I ever going to get a Christian wife that would just believe the scriptures? Oh, so lonely. Look what happened. Keturah comes. Or descendants. Anyway, not Keturah. Now, Moses is an 80-year-old man. 80 years old. What does he do for a living? Man, he's a farmer. What does he do? He follows sheep. He's on a mountainside. La la la. We know in Acts, how many sons does he have? Two. If you're an 80-year-old man, what are you thinking about? Probably has something to do with grandkids. Yeah, having kids or having grandkids almost justifies having kids, people will say. I wasn't a kid, I just spoiled, sent them home. What do you think Moses is thinking about when he runs into this bush? Social Security, well, I won't be there. Anyways, let's talk about it. He's thinking about cows. He's thinking about shepherds, whatever shepherds thought about back then. And all of a sudden, he sees a burning bush. The question is, what do you think Moses' dream was if he was 80 years old? We know that he's getting ready to start a war because of Israel. They're in slavery, being treated very poorly. What else do we know? Yahweh said that the seed of the woman is going to fix all this, and it's going to come through Israel. It's also going to come through who? Abraham. Interesting. And here's Moses. He doesn't know what's going on here. But Keturah came from Abraham. I came from Abraham. And here's all these things. But anyways, do you think he's dreaming about going to war? When you're 80 years old, you think about, hey, strap it up, man. Go get my combat boots. Oh, yeah. Reminds me of somebody else, doesn't it? His name is Caleb, the giant slayer. Huh? If Yahweh's for us, then who could be against us? The point is, Moses, the land of Canaan, and this nuclear war he's getting ready to pick, did not fit in with Moses' dreams. It wasn't his dream to go to war. The point of this teaching is to identify, where do these dreams come from? Why do I have this tug in my heart that never goes away? And every time I go to a teaching or I hear a song, all of a sudden it goes right back to that reference point. Aaron, he's talking to you. Oh, let me be a shepherd. My name's Moses. I'm a shepherd. I almost got killed last time. You can imagine what's going through Moses' head. Do you think Moses' wife knew what happened to him? Probably. What about his sons? Moses, what's going on? Oh, nobody's going to believe this. Okay, well, we'll try it out with my wife. Saw Bernie Bush talk to his name's Yahweh. Yeah, here's this guy. How did Moses, you've been with his son way too long. Bushes don't talk to people. And he goes, check this out. Boom. And all of a sudden people start getting their attention. What did Moses dream, though? Whose dream was it? Yeah. Whose dream in Genesis 3 was dreaming about a man that was going to come fix the curse? Genesis 3:17. It's Yahweh's dream. He's going to get all of his kids back to the Garden of Eden. The original thing we started out in paradise. This is the Garden of Eden. Why did those guys blow it? He goes, don't get distracted by why, trivial questions, endless genealogies. Think about where you're going, and everything you do, you will be rewarded for. What's the point of doing that? Nobody saw it. You get more for that. Really? It's like investing when the market's down. Fantastic. We're going somewhere. And that's our hope. Jesus Christ was able to endure the death of the cross. How? What did he focus on? The glory that was set before him. He could see the new heaven and new earth. He's going to be rewarded. Anyways, now, as I think about Moses, if I was going to paint a picture of Moses at this burning bush, he'd be this dude with the overalls, shepherd's stick, and a big beard. What's going on here? I mean, he's not thinking about going to war. He's taking care of his shepherd. Sounds like somebody else. Or he's acting as a shepherd, taking care of sheep. What qualifications does that sound like? Somebody else has swung something above his head. Look at that. Isn't that neat? He's a shepherd people. Whose dream was it? Yahweh's dream. You have dreams that are inside you that will never go away. That's good. Because there's times there's unfinished business in our own life. Every single one of us has it. Specifically the kids. And every time we get peaceful, something we disregard because it doesn't make sense. When we're peaceful and we get down on our knees and we do circumcise our heart, guess who doesn't forget? Aaron. Come on, man. Oh, boy, we already been there. Why don't you forget about it? Next subject, right? He doesn't do that, does he? But in a peaceful way, he goes, are you ready now? What? You haven't given up on this? It's been 10 years. I haven't given up, Aaron. I'm not going to give up. Oh! I said, run away. Now we're going to turn to another one. Genesis chapter 12. I guess we're already there. An 80-year-old man being called to war. An 80-year-old man who can't speak well. Go speak for me. Oh, great. I'm the prophet. I'm the prophet. Oh, perfect. It's like calling somebody who was a quadriplegic to dance lessons. You're it. Oh, thanks. Oh, that really helps. Have you ever been in a situation because you go minister to him or you do a teaching with somebody with this problem? That doesn't help me right now. Feeling a little overwhelmed here. You want me to go in there and tell people that by faith all things are possible. And they can believe these things? Man, that's a lot of pressure. He goes, not if you remember that I'm in the room. I'll give you the words. I'll stir up their heart. They'll add to it. Really? You mean the people in the room can dictate what kind of teaching it is? He goes, absolutely. I'm in every single one of them. And I'll give them an amen, or I'll turn some pages, and I'll give them a look. And he's orchestrating all of this right now. You're watching a miracle. You're watching a symphony. A symbol by itself, you go to a symphony, looks so boring. I would have the triangle. I remember the triangle. I had no musical talent. Still working on it. Not because I want to. Do you know why I play the guitar and I sing? Yahweh told me to do it. I wasn't exercising my strength. Can I do something else? Push-ups. They would have given me the triangle, but in a symphony with a real composer, everything comes together perfectly. And he goes, desire the best gifts. What? Embrace who you are first and go, you were born to be this. There's never been one like you. There'll never be another one. There is no duplicate. This is your show. What? Yes, you're it. You're the guy. Your whole life you've been hearing about this story. You're the lead guy? That's you? Really? Yeah, and the author's writing going, I'm talking to you. I love that with the never-ending story. Because this guy's reading and the book's alive. Yahweh is in the room. He's inside you going, we got this. Really? Yeah, we got this. Make some decisions. We got this. Here's Moses going, my wife's going to kill me. What about my sons? They're going to inherit the shepherding company. You want me to walk away from my farm? You want me to take on debt? Do you know how 80-year-old people feel about debt? I just paid off that mortgage. You got to go someplace else. Aaron, he's got bad credit. Go talk to Aaron, my brother. I'm talking to you, Moses. Is debt easy for an 80-year-old to take on? It's not easy for a 40-year-old. I just paid that thing off. You know what could happen to me? I finally get on my track. I just paid off my house. You know what Yahweh would probably do to me? I need some more faith out of Aaron. Okay. How do you want to do that? I want you to double your mortgage. What? No, oh, I didn't pay that sucker out. I want you to be more dependent upon me. Oh, man. Now we're going to go to another great leader. Abraham, the father of our faith. See if we can relate to this guy a little bit. Maybe not. Everybody in here is way too young. Genesis chapter 12. Here's Abraham. There's a neat... My father's got a real neat picture. Where was the word of Yahweh written first, before Moses? How did he talk to his people? Golly, there's like a blank spot. It was the stars. So for the times and the seasons, I just got done doing a thing on Facebook. People were wondering if there's aliens and stuff out there. I said, what does the instruction manual say? It was very boring whenever my dad showed me this, by the way. I wanted aliens. I wanted this stuff, this sci-fi. So he goes, it's for the times and for the seasons. That's how we knew when Jesus Christ was born. That's how people, even astronauts, still use the stars. Do you guys know that? To see, they still use the stars. It's a map. It's our whole map. So here this thing is, the times and the seasons. Okay, Moses, or before Moses was Abraham. His name's Ab. Abraham, father of a high place. His name's going to change it, father of a multitude. You think it would be embarrassing to change your name to father of a multitude when you don't have any kids? Does it take some faith? Man, that's like naming me Quiet Aaron. Oh, great! Anyways, here's Abraham, and who's talking to him? The same author who's talking to you. He goes, are you ready? Ready for what? Aaron, you just got down your knees, the tearful joy. You cried tears of joy again. Don't you love those moments? Daddy, I love it. I love your son. How can you look at me and think of me your son? How can you compare Aaron Cunningham to Jesus Christ? And we sit through these tearful joys, and then he goes, are you ready now? What? To fulfill my dreams. Your dreams don't make sense. They need faith. The meaning of my life is to fulfill your dreams and to produce faith. Yeah. You could do this. And we go back. Here's Abraham going, how are we going to do this? What did Yahweh tell Abraham to look at? Look at my word. Look at my word. Look at my word. The seed of the woman is coming and he's going to fix all this. Does Abraham and Moses know about thorns? They know about diseases? That's all from the downfall of Abraham and Adam and Eve. They chose it. Why do people get sick? Why do people die? Why do we have tornadoes? Adam and Eve sold us all into slavery. And a second Adam is going to come back and fix all this. And that's where we're going. Oh, summed up. Here's Abraham going, I don't know, man. I'm 75. I'm 80 years old. You're going to call me to do something like this? And Yahweh said, look at my word. What does he say about you? He says, if you're a Christian, you're seated in the heavenlies. How big does your mountain look right now? What is it? Let's just address this fear that's in the room. How big is your debt? Now take a look at your debt from the moon. How big does it look up from up there? It doesn't look so big when you take a place in the heavenly places. Our Father who paid the debt woke his son up. The 3 days and three nights is 72 hours. That would have been the longest 3 days and three nights ever. Our father's heart was torn in half. Why? Because his fellowship with his son was severed. How bad did he want his son back? Finally! Our father, who was divorced 4,000 years ago, when a husband chose his wife over Yahweh, somebody chose him. You ever think about that? We play pick-up basketball. Somebody chose me. How many times do we leave Yahweh out of the equation? I do it all the time. He's going, you chose me? Here's his son. Dad, you're the only one I'd ever choose. And Yahweh's going, 3 days, three nights later, boom! Then we became a part of the body, the sacred secret. Ephesians 3. Colossians 3 said, if anybody would have found out about the secret weapon that we are the nuclear warhead. We are in Christ. They wouldn't. The rulers of the age would not have killed Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that's going to crush Satan's head. What would stop the rulers of this age? By killing Jesus Christ, we became clones inside of a body that nobody knew about. It says in Amos, Yahweh tells secrets to who? The prophets. He hides some stuff. There's something called the sacred secret. You're it. You're the nuclear warhead. Nobody knows about it. And you don't feel like it. But Jesus Christ goes, watch what happens when you tell a pit bull, sick him. Ooh. Get him! Get him! You want to go outside? The new man inside you goes, amen. Amen. You are it. You're it. I'm it. We're seated in the heavens. Now let's look at this problem. How big does a house mortgage look when I'm seated on the moon? My problem is I can't find it. Where do I put this thing? Now let's zoom out. What if he put you on the end of the galaxy? Our galaxy is 100,000 miles from left to right. Do you guys know that? If you could go to the light speed, it would take you 6 million miles an hour, 186,000 miles a second. If we could go light speed, it'd take 100,000 years to go from the Milky Way left to the Milky Way right. Is that a big court? That's a real big basketball court. Nobody, the existence of man is 6,000. Nobody's even lived long enough to see the Milky Way that came out of your father's mouth. You think he can handle us? Yeah. And he valued all these things for you to look down at your problem and you go, oh, you woke up a sleeping giant. Because this is who I am in Christ. This is what Yahweh did with Abraham before you. Abraham, look at the stars. How many times did Abraham come up with a reason not to look at the stars? He probably just glanced. How many times do you just open a book and you don't read? Or you don't circumcise your heart? Look, please help me. I'm really bored. I don't want to do this. He goes, I'm in. Then he starts showing who you are in Christ. Here's Abraham, chapter 12, verse 1. If somebody would read. Actually, Troy, would you mind reading verse 1 through 4, please?
And Yahweh said unto Abram, come, thou on thy way, out of thy land and out of the place of thy birth, and out of the house of thy father, unto the land that I will show thee, that I may make thee into a great nation, and bless thee, and make that great thy name, and become thou a blessing, that I may bless them who bless thee, but him who maketh light out of thee will I curse. So shall be blessed in thee all the families of the ground.
Pause right there. What was the result of Adam and Eve? The ground would be cursed until a man returns. Abraham, see footnote right there? Abraham is told, where is the seed of the woman going to come from? If you choose Abraham, the book of Esther says, Hadassah, for such a time as this, could you become the queen of Babylon? Or was it Babylon or was it Persia? I think it was Persia, excuse me. And what did Mordecai tell her? You were born for this. You're the queen. But if you don't do it, Yahweh's going to find somebody else. How many times do we go, find somebody else? And we do. That's fine. But we'll go back, but then we miss it once, we miss it twice, go, send me again. Give me a second shot. You ever do that with a basketball? Take a shot and you miss it? Give me another shot. Let me chance that. Let us go, please send your will again back to me. And he might say, that door's closed. But here's the next. Yahweh's calling people. Here's Abraham. What did he do? He took the shot. Abraham did not have to do this. It says Yahweh's will that not anyone should perish. Yahweh is long-suffering towards us and our unbelief. Going, I gave you freedom of will. Why do bad things happen? Why do you keep making bad decisions? If Yahweh's in control, why isn't he in control of my mind? I got a war going on in there. Everybody knows it. I've been in church and all of a sudden the evil thing comes in. Man, that's just the rat that lives inside you. Kill that rat. He'll be back tomorrow. Kill him again. And then kill him again. Now, verse 4. Troy, would you read it? So what is this? No pressure, Abraham. Is Abraham a rich man? Is he a righteous man, excuse me? Yes. The pinnacle. Who's going to have one of the biggest houses in the New Jerusalem? Probably Moses, Abraham, Paul. Yeah. You name it. Uriah the Hittite's going to be up there somewhere. Our father's going to compensate what happened to Uriah. Mm-hmm. Abraham's going to be one of them. How did he get it? He wasn't born into it. He earned it. Mm-hmm. You ever seen that with somebody's the coach's son or the coach's daughter? A lot of pressure on that kid in there. Earn it. Big benefits being the coach's son and coach's daughter? Yeah, big benefits. Here's Abraham going, oh, no pressure. Just this screwed up world. I'll get to remove if I'm obedient to you. Oh, okay, no pressure. That's it. It's not teaching a Bible study. It's not confronting somebody about the Trinity. If I say anything about the Trinity, you're going to assassinate me. That's scary stuff. Why can't I say this word that's not even in the Bible? Let's talk about a golden calf. What would happen if Moses said anything about the golden calf? They would have killed him. Now Yahweh's going to tell you to talk about some of these golden things every once in a while. Verse 6. Troy, would you read that? Verse 4. Excuse me.
And Abram came on his way according to that which Yahweh had spoken unto him and Lot. Lot came with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he came forth out of Haran.
How old is Abraham? Or actually, his name's Abram here. He's 75. What's my excuse? Oh, as soon as I get over this thing, as soon as I get this one thing figured out, I'll return those phone calls. As soon as I get over here, I'll return those emails. You know what happens to people that don't return emails? They get removed. If I ignore them long enough, they'll quit sinning. Our Father, He sees our heart. And every once in a while, He's removed me from many email lists. And then when I come back and I go, I'm sorry. It wasn't malice. It's because I'm overwhelmed. I didn't see the pool. Please send me more. Really? You want me to put it on the mailing list? And he did this with Abraham. He's 75 years old. And Moses is probably going, oh, great. I got to do it at 80. At least 5 years to an 80. I have a client. He's a vet. He's 80 years old. He thinks he finally arrived. His wife's 75. He thinks she's a spring chicken. It's all relative. She's only 75 years old. She ain't even made it yet. Look at me. Here's this neat vet going, look at these guns. Look at this. Man, and y'all go, now I want you to go back to college. What? College? No, man. But here's Yahweh. Here's our leaders. Then what happened here? If somebody would read, I lost my page, Genesis chapter 12. Actually, the last verse.
43.
Thanks, 43. Now we're going to find out how old is Abraham when he's called to take on debt. It's called, there's something, if you have financial planning, good debt and bad debts. If you manage money, do you know what your kryptonite is? Debt. We have to kill the debt. Get rid of the debt! Ah, it's the monster nobody wants to talk about, so I stomp it. Then every once in a while I get paid to advise somebody. I said, there is good debt and bad debt. What's good debt? Good debt is if I have an interest rate of 3%, I have an investment making 7, don't pay off the debt, make payment. Oh, I just want to be done with this thing. Then you kill the golden goose. You want the golden egg or golden goose? I get to advise people like that. And then guess who gets to eat his own cooking? What did I just advise people? There's good debt, there's bad debt. What did Yahweh ask us to take on? Good debt. He wants to make you more dependent than ever. Really? Your old man, the war inside your head, wants to make you less dependent. And what most people have in their mind is, as soon as I am independent, then I have made it. How about if as soon as I marry a rich girl, yes, Donald Trump's daughter is single, right? All my needs will be met. And then every time I just see Jesus Christ and Yahweh, I'll be like, nice to see you guys again. What are we going to do with these people? All my needs are met. He's never going to take me to that. All I need to do is win the lottery. As soon as I win the lottery, all this stuff is gone. Is Yahweh going to give me something that's going to separate me from Him? What do we know about the cross? He asked His Son to die on the cross to make you dependent upon Him. Would He give you something that would pull you away? No. No. Now, here's a big so there's good debt, bad debt. Abraham had to take on debt. 75 years. Oh, here's a big one. Elizabeth! Elizabeth! Well, Sorry, that's Sanford. It's my best Sanford. I'm rehearsed. Moses is the same way. What else does he have here? Abram. Abram. Somebody read verse 32. Let's see if he's got any baggage. Not only does he have to convince everybody about this dream or this vision, he's going to tell the boss, his wife, what's going on here. Now, I shouldn't say Sarah is Abram's boss, but sometimes I got to go talk to the boss. Hey, you know me. I'll do whatever you say. But you know your daughter. Boy, she doesn't like debt right now. I have a feeling that Sarah went, okay. You guys ever had that? When you confronted the elephant in the room, your companion agreed to something that they would normally fight? It didn't say that, but you ever see it? Once we confront those things. What about Abram's father? Would somebody read verse 32?
32
and
what?
An adult, please. Troy, will you read verse 32?
What chapter are you in?
Chapter 12, verse 32.
There is no 32
in 12. Chapter 11, verse 32.
And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran.
How old is that Abram's father? Man, this dude is 205 years old. Man, my dad's not going to like this. Well, I'll tell you what there. And here's Moses. Moses is going back over this. Yes, Yahweh's writing this. And Yahweh tells Moses, well, there's that extra 5 years. You didn't have to take a 205-year-old. So 200, then there's 5 years, Moses. You had to do it 80 and do it 75. But yeah, 205-year-old. We're about even now, Moses. Man. Can it take his 205-year-old father? Where? Out of the walled city. Where? Into a tent. Oh! Okay. A little worried about my dad here. Is he going to be okay? What else? Who is going to be the solution to the Garden of Eden? Abraham. Does that make you vulnerable to live in a tent? Yeah, you better not have anything that's valuable. What do we know is very valuable here? Sarah. And I believe Sarah is incredibly valuable, above and beyond anything we ever imagined. And I recently believe she's 60 years old. The Egyptians want to marry her to the Pharaoh because she's a hottie. He wants to have sexual intercourse. He wants to marry her. What does she look like? Now, here's what I used to think. Maybe she had incredible genetics. She is our example because of what? Starts with an F.
Faith.
Greek would be pistis. Hebrew would be what? Amon. I think Sarah, personally, she fought to be young. I think she looked right in the reflection in the water and says, I haven't had Isaac yet. And it makes it a lot easier when my husband's attracted to me. You listen here! And Abram's going, oh, don't mess with her now, Ishmael. Come over here. She's talking to the real enemy. I believe she achieved this thing. She took back some real estate. What would that take?
Faith.
What does Yahweh want? Faith. I believe that Sarah took back real estate that was precious to her and was going to make all this easier. When he's got a 205-year-old dad. Where are we going? Live in a tent. Okay. Nowhere to turn to Hebrews. Now, how are you going to explain all this? Where are we going? What are we doing? Man, I really hope you don't know what you're doing here. What dreams do you have? What dreams do I have? Every single person in here is guilty of giving up on a dream that Yahweh has in us. What we have a tendency to do because of our war, until we know we have a problem, it's very difficult to identify and eliminate problems until somebody goes, here's a problem right here. Aaron, you're not drinking enough water. Aaron, you need more salads. You're eating wrong. Really? Yeah, you got to fix this. Okay, you got it. When we address and say, what dreams am I holding on you? Because a husband and a wife, if a husband ignores a wife's problem long enough, she might give up on it. But Yahweh doesn't. And then you go, hey, is there anything I can do for you? Except for that. Yahweh, help us with your dreams. What's going to make your day? Hebrews 11.
Page 231.
So here's the father of our faith. Thank you for the page. By faith, by faith. Look at the Rotherham. If you look in the right column, look how he preserved Yahweh's sentence structure. By faith, verse 3. verse 4. By faith, verse 5. By faith, verse 6. Apart from faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. By faith, by faith. You think our Father's trying to get our attention with the way He structured this sentence? Stop praying for a life that doesn't require, and start praying and asking, load it on me. What? If we're going to do something different, why don't we be the one little voice going, give me more. Give you more what? Money? No. Faith. Well, they're not giving me more faith. No, give me more circumstances that require more faith. That's how Abraham did it. That's how Samson. And if I'm going to be different, can you imagine? Here's Jordan and Amari. You guys got great gifts. You're working out. They don't understand the debts you guys have. That's scary stuff, right? What if Amari comes back and says, you know what? Don't spend anything on me. I love you guys. That's it. Would that bless you? That instead of receding, she turns around and goes, I want to take care of you. We could do the same thing with our Father, going, give us, increase it, up it. The problem's me. You're calling me into faith, and my dream did not require faith. I stand corrected. Verse 6. But apart from what? Ramon. It is what? Impossible to be well-pleasing. I used to think, as soon as I get smart, as soon as I start reading the Bible, it's going to get easy. Well, that's easy for this guy right here that's filming the thing. He knows his book backwards and forward. His life is easy compared to mine. If I understood this book as well as he does, he didn't understand how tough I got. He's got it more tough than I do. Why? Because we go into a gym for resistance training. Riley does it. Izzy does it. And we look at resistance different, don't we? Stack it on there. And what if your trainer, who knows the future, says, you're being a sissy. What are you, sissy? Stack it up. You're holding out. Why don't you just lift this? And if Yahweh does, okay, that's more resistance. Bulk this thing up. Look at. Can you zoom down on Riley for just a second? I'm being serious. I envy this guy. Because in order to get what I have, which is a blessing, it's a reward from Yahweh, I have to eat a heck of a lot of protein. He's doing with that. That's impossible. What did I just say? So who's going to get glory? Our Father. You go on there, you go, train me. Stack it on there, load it up. And so we can be that. Now, verse 5, Mom, would you read 8, verse 11, through 11?
By faith, being called, Abraham obeyed, or Abraham, to come forth into a place he was destined to receive for an inheritance. And he came forth, not well knowing whether he was coming. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a foreign land, in tents dwelling, along with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heirs of the same promise. For he was awaiting the city, having foundations, whose architect and builder is God.
And who else makes it? Right next verse, Sarah.
By faith,
you don't have to read that.
Okay.
To ask me to walk away from my house, to go live in a tent, what would that require? You kidding me? Man, I'm so excited about 10 years paying towards the debt. Woo! I'm about ready to pat myself on the back. Now you guys all know, I'm very happy with myself. Yahweh says, leave it! Leave it! Man, I got 20 years left. Call me in 20 years and I'll get back to you, okay? It doesn't work that way. What in our life is making us dependent on something else besides Yahweh and Jesus Christ? That's the question. What am I withholding? Is it good debt, bad debt? What am I not doing? There's always something we can work on in a relationship. And I believe in this case, Abraham needed faith. Where is he going? He wasn't told. How long did he wander? For a long time. Abraham, are you sure you know where you're going? I know exactly where I'm going. Where is it? Wherever he tells me to go. Oh, how convenient. You're the only one with the directions. But he wandered, looking for what? This place is not our home. There was a lot on the line with Abraham. Jesus Christ was going to come. He's going to fix all these things. But we look back at these things, and here's Abraham. He has Ishmael. He has a son. Was he told that this was not the way? No, he wasn't told how Isaac was going to happen. So he has Ishmael. Ishmael's probably 12, 14. I forget how old he is. Then Yahweh goes, you're going to have another child. What does Abraham do? He goes, what about Ishmael? I got a son. As far as I know, Ishmael's about 12 years old. Did Abraham have a plan to fulfill Yahweh's calling? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Who named Ishmael? Yahweh did. Yahweh loved Ishmael. But anyway, so what happened? Every once in a while, we're going the right direction. He goes, change the course. Why? Probably because it requires more faith. This is getting a little too easy for you, Chuck. You're kind of running on cruise control here. Now we're great. What did he do today, Abraham? It's going to come through with Sarah. And then here it goes, boom, boom. What's going to require more faith? Now we can look back and go, if Abraham, we won't go there. But the end of the teaching is the closing of John, the gospel called John. It's the beginning of the book of Acts. If you go, I won't turn to that page. How do you know what you're supposed to do? Well, that's the funny thing about faith. You got to talk to the boss. Was Sarah there when Abraham got this calling? How about Moses? You mean it's like an individual relationship? Yeah, absolutely. Are people always on board? No, they're not. Have you ever done something you knew what you're supposed to do? I'm not going to say any names, but he's raising his right hand right now. I knew what I was supposed to do, so that one got counsel whether I should do it or not. You know what they told me? Don't do it. That's what I wanted to hear, and guess what I didn't do? I wasn't obedient. How do I know that I was disobedient? A year later, guess what happened? The same urge got popped up again. I go, I got counsel. Wise man seeks counsel. He goes, but wise counsel does not trump your specific calling. Peter, do you love me? What about these guys? What about all them? Did they understand Peter's calling? Jesus Christ said, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, he's, oh my goodness, talk about kicking a dead dog here. Did anybody else understand what Peter was supposed to do? No. Did Peter have plans when he was confronted by Jesus Christ a second time? Yeah, he's a fisherman. He's got a mother-in-law, as far as we know. He's got a wife. He's got bills to pay. He's back at the net. He's back to fisherman. Yahweh goes, Jesus Christ says, feed my sheep. Was this a part of Peter's plan? No. Peter had a dream. Being obedient was not a part of Peter's dream. It wasn't a part of Abraham or Moses either. It was a part of somebody else's dream. Peter. Can you imagine Peter going there with that, when we get served, you're being disobedient. Oh, man. But it's peace, isn't it? Isn't he wonderful? It's that peaceful, patient Father working through us going, he's not there to beat us. John Lynn said that once when they went, what do you do with Ruth? How old's Ruth? How old's your daughter?
Year.
A year-old baby tries to walk. She falls down and goes, you no good. We've been waiting for a year to get up and start walking around here. You can't even walk yet. What does a mother and a father do to a kid when he's learned how to walk? Come on. Come on. Well, that's just a kid. No, that's with all of us. Because there's certain things inside of us where we are infants. Because he's asking us to do something that makes us adorable. He's waiting for you to go. But with you, Dad, you'll hold my hands? Yes. You'll catch me if I jump off this thing? We need to go back to that. We're a father and a daughter. We're apostle Amari the first time you caught her. What did you do? That's my dad. You always catch me. Our father looks at us and he goes, I'm your dad. Man, you're telling me to jump. I know some kids now, they jump off a roof. Izzy's kids would. If they knew he was going to catch me. They'd have some serious questions, but their dad is so consistent. Our father with us is going, I got you. Man, why are you asking me to do this? Peter didn't understand their calling. They didn't necessarily understand his. It was always up to the individual going, whenever you're ready for that meeting, you come to me. But it doesn't go away. It's a good haunting. And what happened with Peter? Did Peter choose Yahweh's dream over his own?
Yeah.
Whose shadow healed people? The guy that went back to Votek. Votek! I'm a good fisherman! Go back to college. Ah! Student loans, come on. It's Peter's shadow. Who healed the man at the gate beautiful? Peter and John. Yahweh could see these things. Would Peter ever go back after he knows what happened? He would never go back. He wouldn't change one act of obedience. And I believe sometimes even when we look over our life with this regret thing, you don't look over, there's no profitable discourse thing about our regrets. We can learn from it, but don't kick yourself in the... Even Peter could look back and look how people benefited from my mistakes. I don't look behind me. I look where I'm going. And the same thing will happen with you. And Jesus Christ will build you up. What if Moses... What if Moses' dream came true? Do you think he would have been satisfied as a shepherd? Hearing about what's happening in Israel, do you think he would have been haunted about Israel being in slavery? That there's not even a name to their Elohim? Okay, and all of us had that. We chose not. And Yahweh goes, well, you're ready now? I'm ready. What about Abraham? When he finds out that it is through his son. And even when Abraham was teaching Jesus Christ as a little kid, what's the point of offering a son up for a sacrifice? This doesn't make any sense. Clues. Yahweh didn't accept human sacrifices. Yahweh was teaching his son through who? Abraham. Who got that role? Abraham was the role of the father, and Isaac was the son. We got to portray that. Do you think Jim Caviezel is going to be regretting playing Jesus Christ when he beats Jesus Christ?
No.
Jim Caviezel played the Passion of the Christ. He got to beat the... Who? The Pope? The Pope goes, Jim Caviezel. I can't even do it, but Jim Caviezel did... So thankful for what you did. Here, Jim Caviezel go, man, they told me he was going to kill people if I actually did this. He didn't regret that. Neither will you regret yours. We go back. Whose dreams are more important? And the reason why we have our own dreams, I'll close up with this. You have dreams. You guys are the solution. Amari, you're the solution. You are the solution. The old man that's inside you is telling you, let an adult, let somebody taller take the lead. Yahweh says, let me take the lead. You give the word. You rise up because you're not asked to do it alone. We have our own dreams. Why? Because we want satisfaction. Right? I'll be so satisfied if I just get what I want. Have you guys ever bought something and you had buyer's remorse afterwards?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man, that satisfaction lasts about 2 days. That is our life aside from Christ. We've all been there. Yahweh just had me buy another car. I don't want to go into debt. Oh, this other one's almost paid off. Ah, I have a whole plan. He goes, do it. Oh, okay, if it's your will, fine. But so the idea is, look at your own track record. How many times have you disappointed yourself with your own thinking? How many times have you just promised, just over this next hill, then I'll be satisfied? And how many times did you buy something with your hard-earned money and you regretted it? And that same thing you bought with your money haunted you about a mistake you did. Does it, doesn't it? I got lots of stuff I buy. Why did I buy that? Yahweh goes, now try me. My gifts. I am satisfaction is what Yahweh says. Who is promising your future? Now compare your future to him who knows the future. Now try me. And when you get hard on yourselves, get back up and remember you're seated in the heavenlies. When you're hard on yourself, you want to quit. Remind yourself who the liar is. And remind yourself their track record. How many times has your mind failed and has separated you from being well-pleasing? With good intentions. But Abraham had good intentions. Moses had good intentions. And so did Peter. And all three of them, they also were very smart. They had needs and bills. And Yahweh called all three of those guys in a different direction. Know that I will always meet your needs. So here's a word from Yahweh according to 1 Corinthians 14. I've never gone right into this. I think our fathers, I will always meet your needs. Yes. And when I see you, I see my favorite subject, my son. And I see you resurrected. Would Iron Man get picked on by somebody when he's in the suit? No. He would start believing who he is in Christ. So I've called you to do some things, and I want to get some specific eyes focused right on you. There's so many people that are getting ready to look at you because as soon as you're obedient, they're going to say, here we go again. But this time is different. I will be with you step by step and we will succeed. And the naysayers, like the religious people in Egypt who naysayed Moses until he did power, so will I do through you with power and mighty works if you choose to believe. And you compare yourself to your instruction manual that I've already given to you. This is the test material. Christ is coming back. Acts 1:11 says, that's not a sacred secret, but he's coming back. When is he? When is your race over? You get a choice. How much regret do I not want to have? Yeah. And then move forward to the city whose maker and builder is the one who also offered his son as the only way to get you into paradise.